Okay, good evening, everybody. Today's daf, or tomorrow's daf, I guess, is Mabasar Daf Yud Gimel. We are holding on the top of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the second line of the page. Today's year is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sabian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. There is one primary topic on today's daf, and that is the topic of good or agud. That we've been talking about a lot of things that have one partner wants to force the other to divide, to split, and we keep talking about what is a kidei chaluka, how big does something have to be in order to make it that each one has a significant enough portion that you could force the other one to split. And where there's no kidei chaluka, you cannot force the other one to split. So the question is, can you say, okay, well, I can't force you to split, but at least either buy me out or let me buy you out, meaning this partnership is untenable, I cannot continue this, so let's set a price and you'll either buy me out or I'll buy you out. Is that a reasonable thing to demand, that one partner could demand of the other? So the most of the daf is rayas, whether we say good o agud or we don't say good o agud. Along the way, we're going to discuss the concept of a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin and the unique halachic position that puts a person into, especially considering one's requirement to have children, but mostly it's rayas about good or agud. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to tell us a number of dinim relating to kisvei hakodesh, relating to Tanakh. How much spacing should there be between different svarim, which svarim can be connected with each other, and which have to be separate entities and separate scrolls that you have. I mean, we're talking in days where we still have today that some shuls have actual scrolls of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Sometimes they lay in Haftorah if you have a really dedicated Bal Kore who's willing to learn the Haftorah out of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So that's something that has its own set of halachos. So let's begin on the second line of the page at the two dots. V'loes hatraklin. So we said that we a traklin is not something that has kedei chaluka. Neither partner can force the other one to divide it. So in behen kedei lezeh, kedei lezeh mahu. If the traklin does not have or any of the items that we listed in the Mishnah does not have a proper shear that would demand a chaluka, that would warrant a chaluka, so then what do you do? Meaning they don't want to be partners anymore, or one of them doesn't want to be a partner anymore. How do you get out of the partnership if you cannot force the other guy to dissolve the partnership? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar, is dina de good o agud? Rabbi Nachman Amar, less dina de good o agud. So Rabbi Yehuda says there's a din of good o agud, which means one of the shutfim can say to the other one, either you set an amount and buy my chelek in the shutfus, or I will set an amount and I will buy out your chelek in the shutfus, because I do not want to be shutfim with you anymore. That's how Rashi understands that good is a lashon of ktsitzas damim. Rim Kivegar in the Gilyan Hashas quotes Tosos and Maseches Nida that says that it's a lashon of meshicha, that you should do meshicha on the object toward you, and therefore be kona all of it, or I will do meshicha and I'll be kona all of it. It's the same basic idea, regardless of what the etymology of the word good is. The same basic idea is that one of us is going to buy the other one out. But Rav Nachman says, no, we do not say that. The second partner could say to the other one, I don't want to buy your chelek and I don't want to sell you my chelek. Right now we're b'shutfus and I want to continue that shutfus. The Rimigash explains how the shutfim should continue. According to Rav Nachman, if there's shutfim in a chatzar or in a dira that you could rent out, they should rent it out and just split the money. And if it's not omeid to be rented out, so then they can live there themselves. But since these two people are not able to live together because of hezek re'iyah, so one of them should live there for a year, and then the other one will live there for another year. But neither one can claim that that each one should be able to live there. They should switch off months, because that would be a big tircha to switch off a dira every other month. Meaning what Rimi Gash is struggling with is, come on, what do you expect these guys to do? It's not working. So we're going to have to come up with some way. If they're both going to remain owners of it, there's got to be some way to make it work. So the Rimi Gash says, okay, so if you could rent it out, they could always divide money, they could always split money, or if they could take turns instead of living there at the same time, okay, maybe that's an eitza. But this is the machlokas from Yehuda, and Rav Nachman. So now the Gemara brings Raya number one. Amrle Rav the Rav Nachman. Rav says Rav Nachman Lidi Doth Damer Las Din the Gudol Agud. According to you, that there's no din of Gudol Agud, that you're not able to demand that he either buy you out or you buy him out. B'charu Pasha Sheniach Lenavian Evidu Behema Tmeya Ketanosin. If you have a Bechar and a non Bechar, a regular son whose father left them as Yerusha, a Behem an Eved and a or for that matter a Behema Tmeya. So how could they divide that the Evan or divide the Behemoth Tameya in a way that it goes 2/3 to the Bechar who gets Pishnayim and 1/3 to the Pashut who does not get Pishnayim? You can't split an Evan, you cannot split a Behemoth Tameya into different pieces. And if neither one buys the Chelek of the other one, so how are they supposed to use it at the same time? What do you mean? It's very easy to split it. He'll work one day for this fellow and then he'll work 2 days for the other fellow, and that will be a reasonable way for them to split the Eved. Rashi writes that the reason Rava asked Rav Nachman Dafka about a Bechor u'Pashut, Lechor, you could have asked the same question about two Pshutim. Let's say the oldest was a girl, so there is no Bechor, and you have two brothers that are just splitting it 50-50. Why do you have to make it about a Bechor u'Pashut? Why not just ask about a Pashut u'Pashut? So Rashi says because it's a bigger Tircha to be Shutfim in a way where it's not going to be split evenly, that the Bechor is going to get 2/3 and the Pashut's going to get 1/3. Tosos explains a little more elaborately that it could be that even Rava understood that the Pashut and Pashut could split in such a way where you work with it with the Evan one day, I'll work with it the next day, and therefore he wasn't bothered by that. What he was bothered with is if you have a Becharu Pashut, because it turns out the Bechar is going to get more than Pishnayim. How's he going to get more than Pishnayim? Because if he has 2 days of work from the Evan, he could schlep the Evan out more than a half a day's journey away to do work for him. If he needs that, the Pashut only gets 1 day at a time. He can't schlep the Eved out more than a half a day's journey away to be able to do any work with him. So it's not only that the Bechar gets twice as much time, he has more opportunities and more types of work that he's able to do with the Eved. And that's what Rava was struggling with. How does that make any sense that you're going to be able to have a 2-to-1 ratio of a Bechar and Pashut? And the answer is, Enochinami, but that's still good enough. Meaning, as long as one guy gets 2 days, the other guy gets 1 day, that it's not perfectly even, but that's going to be good enough. So now the Gemara moves on to its second raya, Akasha and Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that we do say good o agud. Meisnei, we have a Mishnah, Maseches Gittin, Misha Chatzi Eved V'Chatzi Ben Chorin. If a person was a Chatzi Eved V'Chatzi Ben Chorin, how does a person pull off such a trick to be a Chatzi Eved V'Chatzi Ben Chorin? So very simply, if two partners buy an Eved together, and one of the partners frees his share of the Eved. So now the Eved is self-owned, meaning he's a free man from the partner that freed him, but he's still owned by the other partner. So he's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. So what does he do? Ovid is Rabo Yom Echad, Vesatzma Yom Echad. He works 1 day for the master, and then 1 day he's free to work for himself. Divrei Beis Hillel. That's Beis Hillel Shita, and that's how he goes on with his life. Beis Shammai Omrim. Beis Shammai says, no, that is an untenable solution. Tikantem is Rabo. You took care of his master that way, but Asatzma Lo Tikantem. But his life, Nebuch, is going to be miserable because Lishla Shivchei Neyachal. He cannot get married to a Shivcha because he's a half a Ben Chorin, and Ben Chorin is not allowed to marry a Shivcha. Velisa Bas Chorin and Yachal, he's not allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl because he's a Chatzi Eved. And we're talking about Neved Kanani over here, and Eved is Aser to marry Bas Chorin, so he's not going to be able to get married at all. So what are you going to suggest? Yibatel, let him just not get married. Valolo Nivrolam El Puria Revia. The world was created only for the sake of Puravush. Namaloso Vra, Leshevet Sitzara. The Nabi Yeshayahu tells us that the world was not created to remain empty, but rather to be populated. Ella, so what solution do we suggest, as the Beis Shammai? Ella, kofenes rabova osnoso ben chorin. We force the remaining master to free him so that he becomes a 100% ben chorin, v'kosen shtar al chati damav. And now he'll owe that remaining master half of his value. So they'll write a shtar that he owes him half of his value. When Beis Hillel heard this eitza of the Beis Shammai, chorzo Beis Hillel lahoros kedivrei Beis Shammai, that the Beis Hillel agreed that makes the most sense, that is indeed the best solution, and they started paskening like the Beis Shammai. But the point is that you see from here that we do not say good or agud, because otherwise, why do you need this special takanum mishum puruvu? If the Eved and the Adon are shutfim in the Eved, and it does not have a din chaluka, so let the Eved say to the Adon, I'll tell you what, either, I'll buy out your portion and we'll dissolve this partnership between me and you, in the ownership of me. So says Umar, no, that's not an example of good or agud. Shaini acha, da agudiko good leka. Meaning he can say, I'll buy myself out, but he cannot say, I'll sell you the other half of me. Because once an Eved is freed, an Eved Kanani is freed, now he becomes a Jew. So you cannot sell yourself back into being an Eved Kanani. It doesn't work that way. So you don't have that other option. The only time anyone would hold good or well good is if both of those are indeed options. But over here, neither one is really an option. Now, before we move on to Raya number three, you'll notice this is a short daf, but it's not really a short daf, it's long Tosfos. There's a Tosfos has a lot to say over here. So there's a Tosfos that has fear kashas. The Tosfos asks four different questions that relate to this sugya, and each one is yisodistic. So one point, Tosfos Nibra Maschil Shenemar, Tosfos raises the question, why does the Gemara, when it wants to highlight how important it is to have children, why does the Gemara quote a pasuk from Yeshayahu about Lo Sov Vara'a L'Sheves Yitzara? There's a pasuk in the Torah. You don't even have to get very far into the Torah. 22 psukim into the Torah. It says Prur Vu. It's a mitzvah. Rabbis, you have this great mitzvah of having children. Why not just use the pasuk in Chumash? So Tosa says two answers. Number one, he says the mitzvah of the Sheves Yitzara applies even to Avadim, whereas Prur Vu is only by Bnei Chorin. And therefore, we're going to force the master to even mitzad the Chatzi Eved Shabo to enable him to have children, because even mitzad the Chatzi Eved Shabo, where he's not chayiv in Puruvu, he is chayiv in L'Sheves Yitzara. And even though in Eved is Hukash Li'isha, a woman's not chayiv in Puruvu, that's only because it says afterwards V'kafshua, a woman's not darka livsho lichbosh, but an Eved is darka lichbosh, meaning that's a kasha Tosred asks, and Tosred doesn't like this answer. He said, Mechitesi, an Eved is not chayiv in Puruvu, an Eved should also be chayiv in Puruvu. You're going to tell me an Eved is like an Isha, and an Isha is not chayiv in Puruvu? The only reason an Isha is not chayiv in Puruvu is because it says, Puruvu, Miluas Haaretz Vikivshuha, and a woman is not a Bas Kibush, but an Eved is a Ben Kibush, meaning he is someone who would fight a war or something like that, and therefore an Eved technically should be chayiv in Puruvu. So that's why Tosri doesn't like Tosra's first answer. Tosra's second answer, why do we choose this pasuk, is that min adin, we cannot force the Eved to be the Adon to be Meshach the Eved in order to be Mekayim Mitzvahs, because the Eved is Pater from the Kiyumei Mitzvahs because he's an Anus. Otherwise, we should force everyone to free the Ravadim, because there's all the Mitzvahs that they're going to become Chayiv in. So you can't force an Adon for the sake of the Eved being able to do a Mitzvah. Meaning, an Eved is only Chayiv Mitzvahs Ki'isha. If you free him, he's Chayiv in Mitzvahs Ki'ish. So we should always force every Adon to free every Eved so that he can do more Mitzvahs. Elamai, we don't force someone to free an Eved just to be able to do Mitzvahs. Ooh, but L'Sheves Yitzara, that's a mitzvah rabba. That's not just your personal mitzvah. That's about keeping society the way God meant it to be. Oh, so for that, we're going to force the Adon to keep society the way God meant it to be, to populate the world. That's Tosfos' second answer. Tosfos suggests his own answer, that the mitzvah puruvu is only when he's able to marry a woman beheter and not be'isser. So since the Eved right now is not able to marry a woman beheter, he's not mitzvah in puruvu. So that's why Beis Shammai chooses L'Sheves Yitzara. But anyway, that is kasha number one. One that Tosfos has. Why are we quoting this pasuk from Yeshayahu when we could quote a perfectly good pasuk from the Torah? Kasha number two Tosfos raises in Dibra Maschil Kofin is how can we force the Adon to be Meshachar the Eved? There's a Beferish HaHalacha, Liolam Bem Tavodu, a pasuk in the Torah that you're not allowed to free an Eved. It's an Isser Aseh to free an Eved. So granted, you have this, the Eved will not be able to be Mekayim L'Sheves Yitzara, but since when do we say Chatei Kedei Sheyizkeh Chavircha? You should do an Aved Torah so that someone else should benefit and someone else will be able to do a mitzvah? So Tosfos suggests that because of the mitzvah of the Shabbos Yitzhara, because it's a mitzvah rabba v'chashuva, we allow the Adon to violate something. I mean, we do not normally tell someone to do an Avera in order to enable somebody else to do a mitzvah. Ooh, but if it's a major mitzvah, if it's a mitzvah rabba, like Puruvu, like the Shabbos Yitzhara, that we will force the Adon to violate an Avera in order to enable a mitzvah rabba. The Rashba in Shabbos Daf Dalet suggests that the din of the Olamem Tavodu is only true when you have a person who's a 100% Avid. When you have a Chatzi Avid, Chatzi Ben Chorin, we do not have the Olamem Tavodu. A third Kasha that Tosfos asks is why the Adon has to be Meshachrer, the Chatzi Avid, Chatzi Ben Chorin. The Avid could just sell the half of him that's a Ben Chorin to as an Avid Ivri, and then he'd be allowed to marry Shavcha Kananis, meaning then he'd be a Chatzi Avid Kanani, Chatzi Avid Ivri. And if a person is a Chatzi Avid Kanani and a Chatzi Avid Ivri, he's then allowed to marry a Shivcha Kananis. There would be no Isser Bidavar. So Tosfos suggests that it's also for a person to sell himself as an Eved Ivri, because the Pasuk says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. That's the drasha in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Chav Beis, that the reason the Eved gets pierced in the ear is Ozen Shashama al Har Sinai, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim v'lo avadim l'avadim. And this guy went and he put himself in a situation where he ended up being an Eved. It's a violation of an Aveira. So we're not going to let him sell himself to be an Eved Ivri. A fourth kasha that Tosfos asks is why do we force the master to free him? He could just marry a woman who's also Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Baskor, Chatzi Shivcha v'Chatzi Baskorin. Wouldn't that solve the problem as well? Okay, granted, it would limit the field of applicants, you know, of Shidduch resumes that he'd be able to take. Okay, so it would be limiting, but it wouldn't be crippling, meaning there would be somebody out there for him. So Tosfos suggests, no, he's not allowed to marry a woman who's a Chatzi Shivcha v'Chatzi Baskorin, because the Tzad Avdus Shabo is going to end up also being married to the Tzad Baschorin Shabo, and the Tzad Ben Chorin Shabo is also going to be, meaning you don't like split his, you know, his body in half and say that you know, the half Eved is married to the half of her that's a Yishivcha. It doesn't work that way. It's all of him, you know, that's mixed in, going to be married to all of her, and that's going to be a problem. So those are the four kashas that Tosfos deals with right here on the spot. Now the Mashmaus, Tosfos also points out, the Mashmaus of Beis Shammai is that if he was able to marry a Shivcha, we would not force the master to free him, because then you'd be able to fulfill the Shevis Yitzhara. So Tosfos in Dibra Maschulisa says, wait a second, why is that good enough? Person who marries a Shivcha, the ben is not Misyaches Acharav. When you marry a Shivcha, the ben is Misyaches Achareha. It's her child, it's not your child. That's why some of the poskim suggested if you have a person who's a mamzer, so whoever he marries is going to be a real problem. They're not going to be able to, even if he marries a Gioris, which he's allowed to marry, but the children are going to be mamzerim. So that's what they suggest. Ooh, but what he could do is he could marry a Shivcha, and the Shivcha's children will be Misyaches Achareha, and not Acharav, and that way the children will not be mamzerim. That's the way to be mitar mamzerim. So all the mamzer has to do is wait for fall in love with a candidate for gerus, and then tell her, listen, instead of doing gerus, how about you just, I just buy you as a shivcha. You know, technicality, you know, we'll buy you as a shivcha. And if he buys her as a shivcha, then the children, the question is, Dina de Malchusa, once Abraham Lincoln freed all the slaves, are you allowed to buy someone as a shivcha? But that would get around the mamzerus problem. So, but the point is, for over here, Tulsa says, you're not being Mekayim anything, because you can't be Mekayim Pruravu, because it's not Misyach Zacharav. Lashevis Yitzhara follows the rules of Pruravu, so you're not Mekayim that either. And therefore, Tulsa suggests he'd still be Mekayim Shevis Koldahu, meaning he'd still be impopulating the world in some way, and that would be enough. That would be enough of a reason to force the master. That would be enough of a reason to say that if he were able to marry a shivcha, we would not force the master to free him. There's a lot more to say on that. So yeah, but let's move on. So raya number three about good o agud. Tashma says Gemara. Let's bring another raya. Shnei achin echad ani ve'echad rashi. Let's say you have two brothers. One of them is poor and one of them is rich. And the father leaves a bathhouse. or an olive press for that matter. And the point is that it's in Bakadei Chalukah. You don't have the ability to for one to force the other to divide it. So what do they do? Asa'un l'sachar, if it's the kind of thing that they could rent out, so good. Asachar liyam, so let them rent it out and they'll split the profits. Asa'un liyatzmo, but if it's the father made it for personal use where they're not going to be able to rent it out, it's just meant to be used by themselves. Hare asher omer la'ani, the wealthy brother could say to the poverty-stricken brother, kach lucha avadim v'yirchatzu b'merchatz. You want to use the merchatz? Kuzun teiv, go hire yourself avadim who are going to be mishamish you in the merchatz, because that's what it takes to run a merchatz. You need avadim to start the fires, to heat up the waters, to schlep the water, to run the place. So good, go find yourself avadim that could bathe you in the merchatz. Or if it's a beis abad, kach lucha zesim v'aseh beis abad. Go get yourself some zesim, some olives, and then you'll run an olive press. Obviously, the ani is not going to be able to do that. He's not going to be able to afford avadim, and he's not going to be able to afford to buy zesim. So he's going to end up with nothing. So you see that the ani, the brother who's an ani, cannot say good o agud. If he was able to say good o agud, he should say that instead of being strong-armed into this situation where he's not able to benefit from it at all. So isn't that a raya against Rav Yehuda? So it says Marna Hasam Nami over there also good ika agud lek. The ani can tie it to the asher, good, meaning you buy out my chelik, but he cannot say, oh, agud, or I will buy out your chelik, because he can't buy out the asher's chelik. He doesn't have the ability to buy out the asher's chelik. So that is raya number three. Now we move on to raya number four, tashma. So a raya from a brisa that talks about shutvim that want to divide. Any item that if you were to split it, it would still be called by its name. So chalkin, then they would split such an item. V'imlav, but if it doesn't have a kedei chaluka, and if you would split it, it would lose its name. So then malino sobedamin. Then we set the value of that item, and one of the partners gives his half of the money gives half of the value of the item to the other one. Meaning good or agud. So you see from the price that anything that does not have a din chaluka, you actually do good or agud. So this is a raya for Rav Yehuda against Rav Nachman. So says the Gemara, yeah, that's a pretty strong raya that we do say good or agud. Tanaihi. So it must be that it's machlokas tanai, meaning enochnami. You found the brisa that goes against Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman must have a brisa that goes like Rav Nachman, and it's machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman had a paskin. Ditanya, because we have a brisa that when you have two shutafim that want to divide between them something that doesn't have a din chaluka, like a chatzit that doesn't have 8 amos, that where each one can take 4 amos for themselves, and one of the shutafim says to the other one, tola tashir va'ani pachos. You tell you what, you take 4 amos, which is all you really need to have, and I'll take less. You know, the whole chatzar is only 6 amos. I'm happy living on 2 amos. You take 4 amos, I'll take 2 amos for myself. Or so shomen lo, we listen to him. But Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar ain shomen lo. We do not listen to him. The second shutaf can say nothing doing. Even though you're giving me a kedei chaluka, you're giving me 4 amos of it. I don't want to do a division that way, where I get 2/3 of it and you only get 1/3 of it. Well, hey chidami, what exactly is the offer over here? Ilei mekatatani, if it's where the one shutaf says to the other one, you take kashir, you take the proper shir of the chaluka, and I will take whatever's remaining. My time is Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why can the guy refuse? Meaning, you're getting a shir chaluka. Meaning, if it was an 8 am chatzar, I'd be able to force you to take 4 amos. So when it's a 6 am chatzar, why can't I offer you that you'll take 4 amos and then you'll have to accept? Now, it must be that there's something missing from the brisa. And what you need to say is as follows, that one of the shutafim says to the other one, tol atashir, you take a proper shir, va'ani pachos, and I will take less than the shir, shomano, we listen to that guy. But the good o igud, if also the halacha is if one of the shutafim doesn't want to be mevater from some of his portion, and he instead says, you buy me out or I'll buy you out, Nami Shomen Lo. We listened to him about that as well. And the second one would be forced to buy out the first one's portion or to sell his portion to the first partner. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. V'asar Meshav Gamliel Lemeimar Ein Shomen Lo. And that's where Rabbi Gamliel must be disagreeing and saying Ein Shomen Lo. Meaning, we're demonstrating that there's a machlokas tanoim, whether you could say good or we good or not. Because what else could this machlokas be about? Meaning, it's not possible that the Tanakama is actually actually saying, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is actually saying, that if one partner says to the other, I'll give you a kedei chalukah, and I will just take a smaller portion, that the other guy has the right to turn that down. Not possible that he could turn that down. So that can't be what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying. So must be that the case is good o igud, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, you could turn that down, that you're allowed to turn down good o igud. So isn't this a raya, that it's in fact a machlokas Tanoim? So says more low. That is not a raya at all. Li'olam kidaktani. What you said is not possible is possible. That which Rav Shimon Gamliel said, that the fellow can turn down the opportunity to have a kidei chalukah all for himself, that it is true that he has the right to turn that down. The comment, my time is Rav Shimon Gamliel, but we ask, why? You know, if it had a kedei chalukah, you wouldn't be allowed to turn that down. Why, when the chatzar does not have a kedei chalukah, can he turn down getting a kedei chalukah for himself? It's a six amah chatzar, he's going to get four amos. Mishum da'amalei, because the second guy said to the first guy, what do you mean you want to give me four amos? Ibid mei, you mean to tell me you want me to pay you off so that I can, you know, to make up the difference that you're only going to get two amos, I'm going to get four amos? Lastly, demei the mason lach. I don't have any money, so I'm not going to buy you out. I mean, you're coming to me with this generous offer, a six amos chatzar, and you're going to give me four amos, and you'll only take two amos. But you're not doing that for free, right? So if you're not doing it for free, I don't have the money to pay for that, to pay for the extra couple of amos. And b'matana, what? You're going to tell me you will do it for free? Lo nichali. I don't want the matana. D'chsiv is sonei matanos yichya, because the pasuk says sonei in mishle sonei matanos yichya, and therefore I'm not interested. What about the chum? Why do the chum think that he has to take it? What about sonei matanos yichya? So that's what the Ad Ramah points out, that it's not a matana. It's it's demei chaluka, because through the chaluka there will be less avir and space where he's able to use. Or the Rabbi Yonah says not about matana, because matana means when someone gives you something because they want you to have it. Over here, he's doing it for his own good. He's giving it to you because he can't stand being a partner with you anymore. So he needs to get out of this partnership. He's doing it for his own benefit. That's not called a matana. We find that elsewhere in halacha as well, right? We find that there's an iser to give a matnas chinam to a nachri, right? The pasuk says lo sechanim, and one of the three surim that's included in that lav shemichlalos of los sechanim is not to give a matnas chinam to a nachri. But the Ran points out in Maseches Nedarim, Maseches Gittin, that if it's not matnas chinam, if you're doing it for your own benefit and not to benefit the recipient, then you're allowed to give such a matana, because that's not really called a matana. So Abaye proves from Shmuel that we say good or bad. Amalei Abaye the Rav Yosef had Rav Yehuda de Shmueli. That memra that Rav Yehuda says that we say good or igud is actually a statement of Shmuel, and Shmuel was Rav Yehuda's Rebbe. How do I know Shmuel was Rav Yehuda's Rebbe? You don't have to learn too many dapim and shas to come across the phrase Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, right? Comes up all over the place. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel. So Shmuel was Rav Yehuda's Rebbe. So that which Rav Yehuda learned, Rav Yehuda happened to have been a Talmud of Rav also. You get Amar Rav Yehuda Rav a lot as well. So it's sort of understood that which Rav Yehuda is saying is probably a tradition from one of his Rebbeim. The Chiddush of Abaye that Abaye is saying is, I know which of his Rebbeim held this. This was a Shmuel thing. This was not a Rav thing. Ditnan, in what context did Shmuel say this? We have a Mishnah that we had in Daf Yud Aleph. The Kisvei HaKodesh, if two people are partners in Kisvei HaKodesh, Afal Pi Sheshneim Rotzim, even though they both agreed to divide it, Lo Yachloku, they're not allowed to divide it. V'amar Shmuel Lo Shanu, Ela B'Krach Echad. Shmuel says this din, that they're not allowed to divide it, is only if it was all in one krach, that there were Shutvim in a Sefer, in a single Sefer, that had Torah and Nevi'im together. Aval B'Shnei Krichos, but if they were Shutvim in a Sefer Torah, and also in the Sefer Nevi'im, then Cholkim, then they could divide it. One of them will take the Sefer Torah, and the other will take the Sefer Nevi'im. And Abaye holds that this din is even in a situation where only one of them is one of the Shutafim wants to divide it, and the other guy does not want to divide it. But V'yisal k'day d'chles din the good o igud, if you hold that one Shutaf is not able to say to the other one, good o igud, my ear yibakrach echad. Why does Shmuel say that only when it's in a single scroll, they can't divide it? Even if it's in two scrolls, souls, no, neither one could be tovea from the other one to divide it, because the scrolls are different from one another, and they obviously don't have the same value as one another, and therefore you could only divide it by saying good or egud, that one of them will say to the other one, you take the more expensive one of the two, and you just pay me the difference in value, or I'll take the more expensive one of the two, and I'll pay you the difference in value. So if Shmuel holds that by when there are two different scrolls, you're allowed to divide it, it must be that he's holding that you could say good or egud. There's no other way to divide it. Meaning, if let's say a Sefer Torah cost $60,000 and a scroll of Nevi'im cost $40,000. So I the only way to fairly divide that is if I say, look, if I take the Sefer Torah, I'll pay you out the difference. I'll pay you $10,000. And if you take the Sefer Torah, you'll pay me the $10,000. So that's exactly good or egud. So says Gemara, Tirgum Rav Shalman, Vishishneim Rotsin. Now Rav Shalman explains, this Memor of Shmuel is only when they both want to divide it. So we said in the Mishnah that even if they both want to divide Kisvei HaKodesh, they're not allowed to. So it's on that line that Shmuel is saying that if they both want to divide it and it's in two separate scrolls, then they could figure it out. But that's not a raya that you can force the other guy's hand with a claim of good or egud. So how do we paskin in all this? Amar Amemer Hilchsa is dina de good or egud. That we do paskin good or egud like Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Ashi la Amemer had Rav Nachman mai. What are you going to say to Rav Nachman who disagrees with Rav Yehuda and says we don't say good or egud? Amar lo shmieli, klomer lo svirli. What are you hacking with Rav Nachman? I don't hold like Rav Nachman and therefore it's not going to bother me. Velo, but do we not paskin like Rav Nachman? Rabin Bar Chinna, Rav Dimi Bar Chinna, Shavuklu Avua Tarti Amhasa, that his father left, their father died and they left them in Yerusha, two shvachos, Chadu Yada Aflu Vishulei, one of the shvachos was a really great baker and cook, Chadu Yada Pilcha Vinabla, and the other one knew how to sew things and weave things, and one of the brothers wanted to divide the shvachos between them, and the other one didn't want to divide them. Vasul Kameh Rava, and they came to ask a Shailu to Rava, Vamaluhu, Les Dina de Gudo Ego, that we don't say the din of good or egud, and therefore neither of the brothers can demand a chalukah of the shvachos between them, that they just have to remain shutafim in both of the shvachos. So don't you see, Rava holds explicitly like Rav Nachman and like not like Rav Yehuda. So how can you say that we paskin is din of the good or egud? Over here you have Rava explicitly not saying good or egud. Which is the Rashba points out. It's a little bit strange because the Amud Aleph, Rava asks on Rav Nachman, who does not say good or egud, sounds like Rava wants to say yes, good or egud. So he suggests that it could be that Ravashi didn't know of from the kasha of Rava, he didn't know about that kasha, or he held that Rava was not trying to argue with Rav Nachman, he's trying to understand Rav Nachman. Say no chinami, Rava is the one on Amud Aleph who challenged Rav Nachman, but that doesn't mean he disagrees with him. He just wanted to understand the shita better. So the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara rejects this raya and says Rava maybe is moda that we do say good or egud, but shiny hasa. But when there are two shvachos that are left to be Yerusha, everyone is going to say over there we do not hold good or egud. Why? Dilemar mi bayle travayu. One brother, wants both of the shvachos. Dilemar mi bayle travayu, and the other one also wants both of the shvachos because they do different things. See, each one needs the things that each one needs to eat. So they both need the good one who could cook and bake, and each one needs to wear clothing, so they both need the one who knows how to weave. So it's we view that as an item that's ein b'din chalukah. Ki kam leishkol ad chadav ana chadav lav gado uigud hu. So when you say you take one, I'll take the other one, that's not good or egud. Good or egud is one is buying out the other one, but no, one is going to be losing. They're both going to be losing over here if they each take one of the shvachos, even if they even out the money later on. So ask the Gemara, but wait a second, about kisvei hakodesh. But what about kisvei hakodesh, like a sefer Torah and a sefer Nevi'im? It's revayu mi bayilu. Each of the shutafim require both. You're supposed to learn. It's a big chiddush, but you're supposed to learn all the Tanakh, right? It's not only b'maver sedri. You're supposed to learn navi also. So if a person is supposed to learn all of Tanakh, you need a navi. You need a sefer. Va'amr Shmuel lo shanu el b'krachechon. And Shmuel said that the Chum in the Mishnah only say that you don't split a kisvei hakodesh when it's all in one krach, because that's going to be a bizayon to Kisei HaKodesh to cut it up. Aval b'shnei krachin cholkin, but if it's two krachin, you do split it. So don't you see from here that even in such a case where they both need both things, it's still called good o'i good? So it says, Gemara, Tikkun Rav Shalman, b'sharatu. We already explained that the case of the Kisei HaKodesh was a case where they were both interested in splitting it. But in Echnam, you would not be able to say good o'i good on Kisei HaKodesh, because Kisei HaKodesh is something that they both need. And if they both need a Torah and they both need a Navi, so we would not say good or we good that each one will take one and they'll just reimburse each other for the difference in value. So once we're on the topic of Torah and Nevi'im Uksuvim, the Gemara brings a brisa that's going to go well into tomorrow's daf also that describes some of these halachos. So Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Mad begadim Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim ke'echad. Divrei Meir. Meir holds you can attach a Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim all in a single scroll. Tosis points out in Divrei Maskil Madbik that even though sometimes the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim are going to be wrapped around the Torah, which means that it will be ki'ilu sitting on top of the Torah, and the Gemara Megillah says in Daf Chav Zayin that you're not supposed to put a Sefer Navi on top of a Sefer Torah. That's only if it's two separate books. But when it's one book and it just wraps around it, that's mutter. That's not considered that you're putting a Sefer Navi on top of a Sefer Torah. So you can make them all in one krach. A Tanakh, that's a scroll. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Torah b'fnei atzma, Nevi'im b'fnei atzman, uksuvim b'fnei atzman. No, the Torah needs to be in its own scroll, the Nevi'im in their own scroll, and the ksuvim in their own scroll. Tosus and Dibra Maskel Rebbe says, and the reason for this is not because of what we were just talking about, that the Navi or the ksuvim is then going to be over the Torah. Because if that were the case, the Nevi'im and the ksuvim would not require their own scrolls. There is no halacha that you're not allowed to put a ksuvim on top of a Navi. You are allowed to put ksuvim on top of a Navi. The reason for this, for each one requiring its own scroll, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that we don't want one to get confused about what's included in Torah, what's included in Navi, and what's included in Ksuvim, that there are differences between them. So a person should be under no mistaken impression as to what is included in each of those sections of Tanakh. That you're not allowed to attach all the Sifrei Nevi'im together, nor all the Sifrei Ksuvim together. Each book from the Nevi'im is supposed to be in a separate scroll. So that's a third shita. So again, the first shita was Rameir, you could put all Tanakh in a single scroll. Rabbi Yehuda says, you could put all Torah in one scroll, all Nevi'im in another scroll, all Tzuvim in a third scroll. And then the Chum say, you know, you need each book to be separate, in Nevi'im and Ksuvim at least. In Sefer Torah, you could have a whole Sefer Torah, obviously. Vam Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, we bring a raya that a person is allowed to attach Sifrei Nevi'im to each other, and Sifrei Ksuvim to each other, because Maisa beBaitos Ben Zunin, there was a story of a man named Baitos Ben Zunin, Shoyelo Shmona Nevi'im Medubakim Kecha, that he had eight different books of Navi that were all in a single scroll, Al Pi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was matir that. And the Chum say, no, he didn't have eight all attached together. He must have had one, each one individually, because you're not allowed to attach them all together. Amar Rabbi Maisa v'Vilufanenu Tar Nevi'im Ksuvim Medubakim Kecha. That one time we saw a Tanakh that was all attached together, and we were machshirit exactly like Rabbi Meir said. So that's halacha number one of the Braisa, was this three-way machlokas about what's allowed to be attached to what. Halacha number two of the Braisa, bin chumash l'chumash al Torah arbash. I should point out, by the way, that the scrolls of Nevi'im Ksuvim, I heard Rav Shachter say that Rav Soloveitchik could not think of any Mar Mekomos to be poshet a suffix that he had about this. That we know that a Megillas Esther, could be missing words, could be missing letters, as long as it's Ruba B'Ksav, because it's Nikrei Geras and it's Nikrei Sefer, so then it's Kosher. And we know that a Sefer Torah that's Chasar Osachas is Pasul. What about the rest of Nevi'im Ksuvim? Is it a Kosher Nevi'im Ksuvim if it's missing letters, if it's got broken letters? So Soloveitchik said he had a suffix about this, and he doesn't know any Mar Mekomos to be poshet this suffix. I later heard a shir from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. He said he's always been bothered by the suffix, and he has no Mar Mekomos to be poshet this suffix. The very same Shaila, he said so much so that he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, because it was halacha l'maisa for Rav Reisman, because his shul yarshined old Nevi'im Ksuvim Klafim from another shul, an Aguda of Crown Heights that had closed down. As you could imagine, there's no longer an Aguda of Crown Heights. So the an Aguda of Crown Heights that had closed down. So he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, can we use it? So Rav Chaim said, fix it. He didn't answer the question, so he said, I still don't have any answer. So then Rav Shachter told me, not told me, I heard in the shir, Rav Shachter said, but there is a tshuva in the Ritva, that talks about this. Problem is, if you read the tshuva in the Ritva carefully, from one line to the next, he contradicts himself. In one line, he implies that it's kosher, and the next line, he implies that it's possible. So I sent, on Purim, I sent that tshuva, Saritva, to Rav Reisman. I said, I found the Maramakom, Rav Shachter found the Maramakom, and he said, but here it is. So he said that was his best Mishloach Manos that he got on Purim. So it was that Shuvah Saritva. But we still don't have an answer to the question. Okay, another halacha. Bein chumash l'chumash shel Torah, between different chumashim of the Torah, arba ashitin. You should leave four empty lines. V'chein bein kol navi l'navi, and between each navi as well. U'benavi shel shneim asar shalosh shitin. Between the different sections of trei asar, you only need to leave three lines blank. You could finish one Navi. If you finish one Navi on the bottom of a column, you don't have to leave empty lines. You could begin the next Navi on the top of a column. And that's perfectly fine as far as spacing is concerned. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the next Braisa that relates to Tanakh and Kisvei HaKodesh with Tanur Rabbanan toward the bottom of the page. Everyone have a wonderful evening, and thank you so much for coming and joining together to learn today.
You as well. Yatika Kacha. Call to.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi.